bring smiles to all when shopping online with Dell Technologies Gift Guide. Whether it's for the artist, the entrepreneur, the student, the streamer, or the gamer, you'll find the perfect gift for everyone on your list. Dell.com/gift guide makes gifting easy with a carefully curated selection of our best tech. Shop now to explore innovative laptops, desktops, and this season's top accessories. Plus, get select savings on impressive PCs like the XPS 13 laptop powered by the latest Intel Core processors. Visit Dell.com/gift guide today for details and get a jump on your holiday gift list. That's Dell.com/gift guide.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Please welcome
Anthony!
The Rich Eisen Show with guest host Andrew Siciliano from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
You would take Zach Wilson right now over Kirk Cousins.
Them riding with Zach is the best way to go.
Earlier on the show, Fox Sports NFL insider Jay Glazer. Coming up, host of the Rich Eisen Show, Rich Eisen. Fox Sports college football insider Bruce Feldman. And now, sitting in for Rich,
Anthony!
It's Andrew Siciliano.
And yet, why am I here right now? Well, it's because I am the host of the Rich Eisen Show, joining you from a conference room in London, England. Right in the middle of weeks 5 and 6 of the National Football League season. Lots going on internationally, lots going on domestically, and I'm thrilled to be here. Andrew, it's kind of funny, sitting in for me, but I'm sitting in for Andrew, sitting in for me. Like an Escher painting that's going on right now.
This is awesome.
Because I'm calling a game this weekend, which is why Andrew's sitting in for me, but Andrew's also calling a game this weekend, a Big Ten game on NBC. So that's why I'm sitting in for him, sitting in for me. Does everybody make sense of what the hell's happening right now on the Rich Eisen Show?
I'm also, Rich, I'm also a little confused because we've gotten so used to seeing you from your room with that painting in the back of whatever it is.
No, I decided.
We got this shelf behind you with are those bowls or what are those things behind you?
It's, you know what? I decided what was missing from my appearances on the show from London was pottery. So,
I love it.
The funny thing is, I spun them myself all day long. I was right there at the wheel, just sort of, you know, with the Everly Brothers in the background. So I decided, you know, why not make some pottery for my appearance on the program? I'm here all hour, guys, because Andrew's, I think he's, this is a team effort. This is a team effort. Oh, first of all, how are you, Chris? Good to see you.
Good to see you, man.
Jay Felly in his spot.
Hey, what's up,
and
Rich?
Good to see you, TJ Jefferson. How you doing?
So, Rich, I'm just playing Unchained Melody in my head right now.
There you go.
Looking at your work.
That's right. That's right. London is rainy for the first time since I've been here, but thanks for asking.
Well, we're going to get
London
to
is rainy. It's supposed to be sunny, though, and 50-something degrees. Supposed to be a little bit of a chill in the air on Sunday when the Ravens meet the Titans. The Ravens have not only already been here for a day, but they've already had a press conference. They're already making themselves at home. And the Titans are coming in on Friday, just like what the Bills did.
Do you think that's a little
too late?
I do personally, but just watch, you know, here's the perfect example. Last year, did I say this? Stop me if you've heard this before. But last year in Munich, the Seahawks came over and arrived Thursday night. And the Bucks arrived at the same time. And the Seahawks were bouncing around. I mean, we went right to their practice. They went straight from the airport in Munich, right to the Bayern Munich facility, got out there and they were bouncing around and Pete Carroll was bouncing around and we saw how they were and how, together they were and how fully engaged they were and full of energy. And then we visited with the Bucks the next day and they were all like buttoned up. Brady was, you know, quite miserable, to be quite straight up honest, about how things weren't playing very well. And we had no idea what was going on in his personal life at the time as well. And we all got together that Saturday at the meeting saying, man, this is a Seahawks team that came in with 4 straight wins and they're bouncing off the walls. And the Bucks are just saying, how are we going to try and start playing some good football? And they, if you recall, just it wasn't even a game. They just smacked the Seahawks in the mouth. So I don't know. I have no idea what's going to happen on Sunday.
Yeah, I was thinking about maybe adding the the Titans in fantasy just for defense, you know, maybe kind of stream it a little bit because the London games are usually a little bit low scoring. But hearing that they're not getting there till Friday, kind of red flag for me.
I don't know. And they might be a completely different unit than the Bills, who came in a little banged up. And then, you know what can make you look jet lagged? Losing Daquan Jones and Matt Milano in the first quarter of a game. Yeah. You know, and you've already lost Trey White. You know, and you didn't travel with Greg Rousseau. Like that can make you look a little jet lagged, like you're not on your proper timing. So I don't know, man. And that's going to be part of my power rankings later on. It'll be the first international heckling in the history of the Rich Eisen Show power rankings. Can't wait for that.
I don't know, man. I think the league now 5 weeks in is starting to kind of take form at the top end. So I don't know how much heckling we're going to get this week.
Okay. But that'll be later on. Here's something that I saw today that I had to bring to everyone's attention, certainly with Bruce Feldman joining in hour three with Andrew, who, if I'm not mistaken, is currently chatting with Marvin Harrison Jr.
Correct.
In advance of Ohio State and Purdue. So, I mean, Andrew will be bringing you the latest of the best wide receiver in college football, with all due respect to everyone else. And Bruce Feldman's going to be joining Andrew in hour three of the show. Did you guys see James Franklin at his press conference this past? Did you guys see this?
We did. Convo pre-show.
Yeah,
about
we
that.
Passed that around between the three of us. It is.
Well, this is, you know, in this day and age, when we're watching football, sometimes fans, and I don't know who this member of the media is, and I feel bad to call it out like this, but the soundbite elicited from James Franklin is truly an all-time classic, because so many times you hear as fans, and I get in my Twitter feed or X feed, what do you want to call it? And, you know, hey, Dak's missing receivers, you know, like, we had Kurt Warner, you know, I think we talked about it yesterday with Kurt Warner and how I retweeted a video of how Dak has some receivers who aren't running the right depth at route depth, and the play call is kind of on the wrong hash mark, and that will cause Dak to look bad. And then you see me retweeting Kurt's, you know, Hall of Famer Kurt Warner's very reasoned quarterback confidential video. Pointing out how it's not all Dak's fault. And then the answers from the fans are like, yeah, but he's missing tons of receivers, Rich. Like, you don't watch enough football and things of that nature. And then so to hear an actual question from a similar vein of fandom for James Franklin to basically be told your quarterback is not performing the deep ball very well. Your offense isn't cutting off the top of the defense very well. Your offense needs to go more vertical, coach. So why not just give it a whirl, you know, once or twice in a game? Just put it up 50-50 ball, see if your receiver comes down with it, just to show everyone you can do it. Makes kind of sense. Yeah, exactly. Makes kind of sense, right? A little bit.
Yeah, maybe. Sure, I get it.
When you're Randy
until
Moss,
you
yes.
ask an yeah, until you ask an actual coach and professional play caller and schemer of offense, is this question. Here it is in its full glory, James Franklin of Penn State.
Hey, good afternoon, James.
Hey, Corey.
A follow-up to what you were just asked there about Drew. Is there a balance, though, between, hey, we need you to throw the ball deep no matter – just take a shot. Don't overthink it. Take a shot. We need to see it. We're going to call it, and we need you to get some confidence in doing this, as opposed to even giving – a young quarterback the chance to say, hey, just check it down if it's not there.
I don't really understand what you're saying, because we would never – like, I'm like, my skin is curling when you say just drop back and chuck it deep no matter what. Like that is like – I don't even know what you're – I don't know what you're saying. It's like you're speaking like from
just
Mars.
Just send the guy in a post pattern, take the shot, throw it.
No matter what.
Give your receiver a chance to make a play on a ball, even if he might be covered 30 yards down the field. Maybe you think he'll be open 45 yards down the field, and like Godwin did, or with Jahan or KJ.
We've I still don't like you're speaking Japanese. Like we have never done that. just throw the ball up and maybe he'll be open and maybe he'll catch. Like my skin is like you're making me uncomfortable. Like I don't know what you're talking about. So okay. Yeah, we would not do that. We would never do that. We've never thought about doing that as a head coach, as an offensive coordinator, as a receivers coach. I coached the receivers. I didn't want them to do that. So no. Strong no. Like, yeah, no. I'm hoping we can cut this out so this doesn't even like get out into the universe.
It's,
oh my gosh,
it's so amazing. When I first listened to this, I thought that James Franklin was the crazy one, and then now on the third listen I'm just like, what kind of question was that?
Rich, at 7:50, Chris is like, what's wrong with James Franklin? And now at 10:10, he's like, oh, wait a second.
Wait a second. I get it.
It wasn't James.
It wasn't on James.
No, I mean, I got to be honest with you. That was a very emphatic answer from the coach. If I'm not mistaken, the person in question is who asked the question has responded. Is that what I'm to be told?
Oh, no way.
Yeah, I don't know if that's actually the case, but I'm trying to determine the outcome of everything here. Other than to say, James Franklin is not going to throw it deep just to throw it deep. This is just the way our world goes, it seems, where this seems to be an easy fix. And I've never been, you know, that much of a James Franklin fan, just because, again, come November, it's going to be on and cracking
right,
between
right.
my team and Penn State.
Yeah, that's game.
But that said, that is a heck of an answer from the coach right there. To say the least.
Yeah, that, just strong no. Just a strong no. And we're not going to do that.
I also believe that we've all heard way dumber, and not even say dumber, but worse questions than that, too. He really kind of went off on them a little bit.
It wasn't worded properly. I mean, basically what the question is, hey, why don't we try to stretch the field more by just taking more chances? But he made it sound like, just throw it up there. I mean, I don't know. See what happens.
Yeah, I mean.
Well, apparently, this fella Corey Geiger is saying that he's getting, you know, crushed. And now I feel bad about bringing this up on the program.
And I feel bad too because Corey Geiger, if I'm not mistaken, is from Altoona, and he's very good at his job.
Oh, really? All right, so let's give him an attaboy and say he deserves. You know what? Let's just call it second down. and run the ball. Let's run the ball.
Let's
scheme it. Yep. Let's come up with a little play action pass. Let's try to figure this out. But let's definitely not throw deep. You know,
I kind of feel the answer was a little too demonstrative, and I don't think the question was that bad.
Well, again, the whole
maybe I'm just
the whole
up for
question
Corey,
is just like I'm sure that the lack of deep ball. Is something that I think is maybe a third rail subject for the coach and the team right
sure.
now.
Yeah,
you know, I haven't watched a full Penn State game, to be quite honest with you, so I don't want to sound uninformed. I'm just assuming that this is something that gets brought up, and just the whole idea of why don't you just give it a try is something the coach is not really interested in. So, you know, there's that. There's that. So maybe
but you not loving Penn State must have just saw that this morning and this is the greatest thing ever, right?
I saw that. I'm like, it's going everywhere. I'm like, let me see what this is.
Yeah.
And then I on the way to doing the NFL Network NFL Total Access hit tonight with Kurt Warner in front of Big Ben in the Parliament. I showed it to Kurt. And,
what did Kurt say?
Kurt's like the king of, you know, yeah, that's so easy. Just throw it in the air. You know, let's see how it goes. You know, like, why would you even? And he's the guy, again, whose videos are like, you're on the wrong hash mark. The down and distance right. is so off specific. For this type of play. Certainly when you're running it at this depth, like that's, you know, what Kurt's about.
But right.
At any rate, that's just funny. Figured I'd throw that one out there. All right. So let's take a break here on this program. When we come back, Michael Irvin said something to Susie and Amy Trask on What the Football yesterday about Dak that kind of leapt off of the screen to me when I saw it. And by the way, everyone should go get that podcast as well as Overreaction Monday, wherever you get your podcasts. And so there'll be that. And then the first international running of my weekly power rankings. I am live from London, England, with a bunch of fresh pottery behind me. That's all next. This is The Rich Eisen Show. Do you love sports? Do you want to stream the biggest games, the best matchups, and the most edge of your seat, jaw-dropping, heart-pounding moments all live? Well, you got to get Peacock. Peacock has the most live sports of any streaming service. Keep up with your favorite Premier League clubs with live matches, replays, and more all season long. Stream every game of Sunday Night Football, including two exclusive NFL matchups you can only get on Peacock. College fan? You don't want to miss Big Ten Saturday, featuring some of the best schools, the loudest fans, and the most action-packed showdowns week after week. You also get Fighting Irish home games live from Notre Dame. And that's just a sample of all the live sports you get from Peacock. Stream live races from IndyCar, NASCAR, Super Motocross, IMSA, and Nitro Rallycross. Plus, get golf, every premium live event from WWE, the Paris 2024 Olympics, and so much more. All for $5.99 a month. Go to peacocktv.com to learn more and join today.
Susie Schuster and Amy Trask present offbeat conversations and expert sports commentary as they ask, what the football?
When my family found out how long it took me to figure out why Charles Woodson named his wine Intercept, they said, there's a reason that you had trouble in school.
You know, not everyone knows, you know, when they think of a bottle of Intercept, they don't know that I play football.
Well, what I've learned is a smooth defensive back can make smooth wine.
That's what it's all about.
What the Football with Susie Schuster and Amy Trask. The podcast is available Tuesdays, wherever you listen.
Ah, yes. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, I'm sitting in a conference room in good old London, England. What's going on there, guys? What do you got for me there?
Not a whole lot. Just, you know,
come on.
Still discussing, you know, the press conference there.
We were still talking about
a little much on Franklin's part.
Actually, maybe. TJ said that, didn't you just, you literally just said this. When your book came out, what year did your book come out?
My book came
2007.
Out. Yeah.
I think.
Wow.
Eight or
Rich.
Seven.
Great job. Well, that's this guy, Corey Geiger, wrote a piece about TJ's book when it came out.
I'm pretty sure Corey wrote
it. I feel terrible. Now, like in the commercial break, I just saw, like, you know, the number of people that are, you know, saying, yeah, it's a bad question. Move on. Now I just made a whole segment of it. I feel bad.
But I actually don't think it's that terrible. It could have been worded differently. But, you know, this guy, Corey, just tweeted out all these examples of just random deep bombs to Chris Godwin and these guys back in the day. So it wasn't a terrible question.
Well, because I'm sure, I don't think they're random. That's Franklin's point. They're not random.
But obviously they're not doing it this year, so.
Yeah, because maybe they don't have somebody as talented as Chris Godwin, which is what, again, is why that's probably an issue.
John Dotson, you know,
Hamler, too. That's not a bad one.
Yeah.
You know, those guys were pretty damn good.
Those guys are good. High register.
John Dotson.
You know, so.
All right. How was dinner last night? Looked like it was delicious.
Oh, you drink. Yeah. Kurt and I had dinner together last night.
Yeah.
Like, it's just kind of cool. It's one of those moments where, you know, obviously I've known him for ever and a day, but I'm not going to lie. I sit there and I'm like, okay, so.
What did Kurt order? Kurt's not a drinker, is he?
Yeah, he had a drink.
Oh.
He did.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, he's not a, you know.
Well, he's like a body is my temple type of guy. You know what I mean?
No. He can let loose a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah. You should hurt him. Just one drink, he started cursing his head off.
Yeah, right.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Andrew Siciliano is off the set. I'm filling in for the man filling in for him. That's what's happening.
I'm the man sitting next to him. Amazing.
So is he in the green room, like, zooming with Ohio State?
Yes.
Is that what's going on?
Literally right now. We could go back there and crash it, I guess, if we wanted.
No, we don't have to do that.
Also, Rich, Andrew found a $100 bill in a coffee cup by your desk. Wait, man, you just hoarded money back there or something? Like,
what the what?
Hold
no. That is not true. That is definitely
definitely true.
Okay. Did he really?
I think it's a fake $100, though.
Yeah. I think it was.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think it's one of those.
Not like a
funny,
real
funny money. But we were just like, wait, what?
I was about to say, I got to catch the next flight home.
This is amazing, Rich. I'm just going to tell you this. For all we've gone through on this show to be able to actually have this Zoom to see you there, there's it's no delay. Cool. You're looking good. Chris is there. I'm Thank there. Jace is there. Like, this is amazing,
this
man.
This is fun. This is fun.
And Del Tufo's doing God knows what in Las Vegas right now.
Is that what he's doing? Oh, that's where he is, huh?
Yeah, I think he's that's I think where he the is? Concert's tonight that he's going to.
Wow. That is cool.
For like the 85th time.
Yeah, I'm chatting tomorrow with the Ravens. I've got the Ravens are awesome. Okay. They, you know, they got the coach. I got John Harbaugh, Lamar, Roquan Smith,
Remember,
and Zay
Rich,
Flowers.
Remember, Rich, it's Quan, as he told us when he called in the one day. Quan. So when you see him, address him as dad, he'll think you
hey, Quan.
Remember.
Quan. How are you?
What's up, my Quan? Man. The ambassador. And he'll be like, Quan. Oh, what up, Rich? Yeah. Remember, Quan.
Yeah. So should I say my name is Erd? You know,
that's my man right there.
Definitely not.
No, I don't shorten think, my name for the back end of my full name.
I you would know? Say no, Erd.
Call me Erd, Quan. That'd be odd.
That would be
and awkward and weird. I don't think we get any information out of him if I did that.
Nah, hey, what up, Coach Ball? You could, you know, what I mean that sounds a little.
You want to let's talk a little baseball real quick? You want to do that?
Sure.
Hey, Rich, just because it just popped in my head here. Real quick, sorry to interrupt. So yesterday I caught the replay of the game on Sunday, and I made sure to catch the last 13 seconds.
Oh, yes.
And I heard the David Spade shout out. I made sure to record it just so I could catch it this time. So that was great move on your part.
Did you record it on your phone and then put it on social media?
I was going to, but then I know you guys get weird about that, so I decided not to. So the world will just have to, you know, if you saw it, you saw it. And if you didn't, you'll never know what happened.
Well, Rich, so, did Sarah text it to you? Because she recorded it and sent it to Spade. And
is that right?
Yeah, and then he voice memoed back like, oh, I walked out of the room for a second, and when I came back, he said left coast, but this is the coolest thing ever.
So he didn't hear it? Is that what you're saying?
He missed the specific name shout out to him.
Why would he leave with 15 seconds to go? Why would he do that?
Well, he was actually up watching the game, I think, and it was over at that point because they were kneeling, so he went to go get something to eat or whatever.
He didn't believe
I think he has trouble sleeping after the emergency broadcast system hit his phone, and he said it hit him in his head, and there was all sorts of lasers that came out of his phone.
Man.
He spasmed that thing, Chris, is it wrong to say the following?
Oh, well, whatever you're about to say.
You've got to ask.
The fact that you addressed me, you know that I'm going to say no, it's not wrong, probably.
Okay. That your Red Sox and my Yankees won as many playoff games as the Rays and the Orioles this year.
I know.
Is that wrong?
And
is that wrong?
And the
is
Blue
that,
Jays.
And the is Blue that Jays. Wrong? And the Blue Jays. Yep. That's right.
They at least went over.
I shouldn't leave them out of all that, right?
Now, here's the thing.
I feel bad because, again, I know so many O's fans. Our buddy Josh Charles.
Me too. Lock
and Fulbrook, who never forgive me for something like that.
Buddy Rich Frank.
Back in the day when the Ringer actually allowed some of their people on our show, Mallory Rubin was there, you know. And
have
so,
we been
you know,
the,
we
shadow
had that.
Banned by the Ringer?
It seems like it, I think. I
now,
don't
Rich,
know.
Now,
I
look, when, like, you know, if – I know you wouldn't root for Ohio State, but if they do make the national championship and you don't, you do kind of want them to win because that's, you know, kind of Big Ten pride. Were you secretly rooting for AL East teams in the playoffs, even though?
No. I wanted the Orioles to go deep because I think it's a great story that they lose 100 games, then they win 100 games just a couple years later, and they have all these young kids and everything like that. But, oh, my gosh, you know, again, the sports can just make people petty. And I guess I'm one of those people right now that the number of times the Yankees would get their butts whipped by the Orioles this year, and rightfully so. They were a better team. They're better equipped. They're better run. They're better rostered. They're better everything. That I would just be scrolling through and just like all sorts of smack from these folks, like, you know, like they've been the 27 Yankees for the last 15 years, you know, and now. You know, and the Rays, after the Yankees lost to them, you know, and they were like, yeah, we don't think much about teams that are 10 games out, you know, got that little smack talk. And the Jays were smacking towards the Yankees as well about how things have changed and, you know, they're not the team to beat anymore. All true things. But when it came time to, what's the word for it? Walk the walk or win the win.
Zero.
And man, we were talking about this the other day. Bruce Bochy now sweeping the Orioles out to get to the American League Championship Series for the Texas freaking Rangers,
right,
is just one of the most remarkable achievements, managerial achievements. And interestingly enough, I saw a stat on Jason Stark's Twitter feed, by the way, that interestingly enough, that the Orioles were the first team to not get swept at all in a series in the regular season, but get swept in the postseason. The last team to do it was the 98 Padres, managed by Bochy. Didn't get swept during the regular season at all, but the Yankees swept them 4-0.
Right.
In the World Series that year. So the fact that Bochy is doing what he's doing is unbelievable, and it looks like potentially it's going to be an all-Texas American League Championship Series with the Astros being on the verge. And they should get Costanza there, right, for that sort of thing.
You tell those SOBs.
You tell them, you know, I'm not coming to Houston. And then, of course, the Dodgers not being on the verge. The Phillies and the Braves are just must-see television. It's been an interesting postseason. And obviously, if the Dodgers get swept out by the Diamondbacks, then what in the world do they do? Like, where do they go?
We're going to have our annual, is Dave Roberts coming back? You know, conversation.
That seems to be it. But it also seems to be, you know, I mean, how is it his fault that Mookie and Freeman go 1-for-13 in the first two games of their series? You know, how and that Kershaw has such a terrible outing. And then, you know, Bobby Miller doesn't do very much. Now it's on Lance Lynn, everyone, to try and stave off the sweep. So that's some interesting stuff right there from the playoffs. I kind of wanted to hit that. Just kind of hit me. Just wanted to talk about that. All right. Another item up for bids on What the Football. Susie Schuster and Amy Trask every Tuesday have a podcast that is on our YouTube page, as well as where everyone gets podcasts, including all 3 hours of this show, Overreaction Monday on Mondays as well. And the Rich Eisen Podcast Network with Cumulus together put these out. Their guest this week was Irv. And I knew when Michael agreed to do the show a couple weeks ago, this would come after the Cowboys and 49ers and would lead to a fascinating conversation, no matter the result. I'll be straight up with you. As much as I think the 49ers are the best team in football and they're sitting atop my power rankings for weeks now, and I'll get to my latest power rankings shortly, I didn't see a 32-point loss and beatdown coming. Did not see that coming. Thought the Cowboys would make a better game of it. Thought the Cowboys were better equipped maybe this year coming in. Instead it was more Purdy Palooza and everything else. And despite, you know, as we mentioned on yesterday's show and earlier today, Kurt Warner showing on his QB Confidential video that I reposted on social, the fact that it's not all Dak, it's some play calling, it's some poor route running, it's a whole mix and mishmash of things. I think Orlovsky put a video out of Dak's final interception that went way over the top, throwing into double coverage that there was nothing for him to do. And you're 30 something points down. It's time to come up with it, to try and come up with some points, I guess, or pull a Penn State and just throw it up no matter what. And it came down with an interception. Long story short is Irv was asked the magic question because we're in the full-on throws. Obviously, I'm not seeing the split screen, you know, conversation that's happening on sports television. But I'm just assuming it's a conversation about Dak and confidence in Dak. Questions again, another year of it. And Susie asked that very question to Michael Irvin on What the Football with Amy Trask.
Do you think we're ever going to see that? Like, what's your level of confidence in Dak Prescott?
My level of confidence in Dak executing what you have around him, if you have what's adequate around him, I can believe he can do that. If you're asking me, do I have a level of confidence that Dak can do what Patrick Mahomes does, then no, I don't have a level of confidence in that. You see what I mean? Patrick Mahomes, the way he's buying time, he's getting you a second, third, or fourth play within every play. You know, Dak doesn't move around. He doesn't have that kind of just pizzazz in his game. Always looking up the field and making all those off-target throws. And, you know, he just doesn't have that. But you put the right people around that, you put a solid team around that, and then, yes, that can win football games and win championships. Now, the question is, because you – listen, when we start breaking this down, you make one or two things. You say, okay, I either got to go get some more players around the quarterback or I got to go get a new quarterback. And I'm going to tell you something right now. You rather search for the players around than search for a new. Until you can find a surefire better player than Dak Prescott, I don't care to hear people always talk about, do you believe in Dak? Can Dak get it done? That's all we got right now. That's who we got. Yeah, you better believe in him. Let's get the people around him is the reality to it.
Michael, you are singing my song because in essence, you just said my words, which is, and do what? Before you can decide if you want to move on from Dak, you got to ask, and do what?
That's Amy and Susie for What the Football Wear. All podcasts can be acquired. Great conversation starter here, because here's the and do what. Go into the trade market right now. And first order of business, I would be to try and get some speed. And I know you say you already got it with Brandon Cooks. You got to get more. Look at the Dolphins, man. That's what the day and age is. Just get fast. Get fast. You got Pollard. You got, you know, and the guy, honestly, I don't know why the Jets, for some reason, have decided they have no use for Mecole Hardman. If the Jets are making him available, and I'm the Joneses, I'm the front office, I'm calling up Joe Douglas and say, what do you want? And bring him in and start, you know, using him in certain ways that we saw the Chiefs use him. And for whatever reason, the Jets have decided not to use him or are uninterested in using him. That's what you've got to do. You do have to get the players around him. And the fact, though, that Michael here in 2023 is saying, do I have confidence in Dak? You bet I do. Do I have confidence in that he's going to be like Mahomes? I don't. To me, that one struck me like the proverbial ton of bricks. Dak at age 30, after what we saw from him early in his career, where he was extending plays and making remarkable throws, like the one to CeeDee Lamb in overtime in New England is a perfect example. Mm. I'm sure you remember that, Chris,
absolutely,
right? And those types of plays that he made coming back from his leg injury against Tampa, where he's like, I'm going to take the team and throw them on my back, and we're going to start winning some games with me extending plays, you know, making all sorts of decisions that put pressure on the defense. That guy is, he's not confident that guy is there anymore. And he thinks that he is a more than capable quarterback to win games, win playoff games, and probably even if a championship. And I still believe that. But to me, he's basically saying that Dak is not the guy who is going to just essentially, doesn't matter how you change the roster, just give him one guy like Kelsey, and we're good. And just keep on churning out the rest of the roster with McKinnons and Pacheco's and, you know, what, Rashee Rice, Tony, you know, last year, Juju Smith-Schuster, those folks, Mahomes has got you. And I guess they're thinking, all right, CD's their guy and Pollard's their guy, but they seem to need more here. And in a system that, you know, we're assuming will suit Dak, but through five games, it's way too inconsistent because you're seeing how well they're playing against offenses that are sputtering with quarterbacks that aren't seeing the field very well, both Joneses and Zach Wilson at the time when he came in. But if you're taking on teams like the Niners or the Eagles twice or the Dolphins, you're going to have trouble. You got to get faster and you've got to get some points on the board and you got to get a system that suits him. And the fact that he said this made me think this last thing, and then I'll throw it to you guys to chop this up. That who are those types of quarterbacks who are right now, you know, in year 8, year 7, year 8, year 9, who are performing well with the scheme and the personnel that fits the scheme and their abilities to perform very well. The people I'm thinking are Jared Goff in Detroit, Geno Smith in Seattle. Who else is out there that's performing similar to that?
Well, who's been in the league that long, too? Right. I mean,
that's what I'm thinking.
It's a very small group. Like, what year is this for Lamar? Year five, six?
You know, it's just, but Lamar, I think, is of the echelon of game changing. I can throw the team on my back with my play. If you just want to cut me loose, I can do that. You know what I'm saying? So I would throw him in a different mix here, but that's who I'm thinking. Like, is Dak going to be one of those guys that you need to hit the scheme? You need to hit the roster right for him to win a championship or make a deep run or be a playoff team. Like, is that the Dak that we're seeing now?
Well, kind of like Matthew Stafford in L.A. when they won the Super Bowl.
There's another good one right there.
Is just load up the talent, have superstars around him. Yep. And
with
then,
a coach that taps in. Correct.
Right, exactly. And then kind of scheme it where everyone's kind of open on every play.
Whereas when Dak took over for Romo and came on to burst on the scene, we thought maybe he's, you know, the next the guy, you know. And instead we've seen since then Mahomes do it, Josh Allen do it, Burrow do it. Justin Herbert seems to have the skill set to do it, although Dak has had more, you know, playoff success than Herbert. We've got to say that.
Sure.
That this is what I thought of when I heard what Irv had to say to Susie and Amy on What the Football. And he's also, you know, goes deep into so many different other aspects of the Cowboys' loss to the 49ers, talked about who he thinks the MVP of the league is through 5 weeks, and also told a great story of how he first met Emmett and then how he once upon a time thought about getting into coaching. But did you hear who apparently talked him out of that and told him to stay in broadcasting?
I did see that. The commissioner. Commissioner. Yeah, the commissioner
Roger Goodell
said that. Interesting.
Which is a story I never heard before. And, you know, that's what happens when you start a podcast network. You start hearing other stories. So that's What the Football. Go get it where all podcasts can be acquired. With Susie Schuster and Amy Trask and Michael Irvin. So let's take a break right now. We'll come back and we'll do the power rankings. I've got them. And then I'll hand things back to the guy who's filling in for me as I fill in for him and Andrew Siciliano. That's how we're rolling the break right here. I'm in London. I'm here. You're there on this edition of The Rich Eisen Show.
Millions of listeners and thousands of five-star reviews rave about the hit podcast series In the Red Clay. The unbelievable story of Billy Sunday Burt, the most dangerous man in Georgia history.
He was a whiskey man, bank robber, hit man. He was a murderer. He's also my father.
Seasons 1 and 2 are available to binge right now, and bonus episodes are coming soon. Imperative Entertainment presents In the Red Clay. Get the podcast wherever you listen.
Hey, guys. Still sitting here in London.
Hey.
Are you still there? You didn't leave?
Have you ever been like overseas or anywhere for like 10 days? Like, what's the longest
trip
you've
ever been?
Not for
that long. It's been a week. I went to Europe last year for a week.
Hey, how's the weather out there?
Yeah, it's raining.
Yeah. It's raining. You want to come home after a while, right? It's just like.
Has your body adjusted? See, you're going to get to the point where you fully adjust to being over there, and then you're going to come back here and you're going to be screwed up again for like a week.
Yep.
Yeah, I know. That's going to be great.
So you got that going for you.
Lots of
things.
That's going to be great.
So, hey, but I'll come to work at 2 a.m. and I'll say, where are you guys?
Yeah, hey, where is everybody? And I'm sure your kids will be like super patient with you while you readjust and like understanding.
Where are you and Sarah watching the game tonight? Where is that going?
Well, it's a 2 o'clock start.
Oh, is it? Okay.
So, you know, I kind of hit the gym after work usually, so I'll be home probably in like the third inning.
Literally, figuratively, good flex. Yeah.
Maybe I'll go to the driving range. The thing is, if it's a close game or if the Braves are losing, I got to give her space because, like,
she takes it seriously.
She like you? No wonder the two of you get along so well.
Way worse than me.
Oh my God!
Way worse. Way more intense.
Can't be possible.
Way more intense.
That cannot be possible.
See, the thing is, like, when my team, if one of my teams is losing, I'll just be like, well, this game's over. Like, I'll be so negative because that's just the New England, you know. Oh, it's so negative. But then she's just pacing around, kind of freaking out and going nuts. And
so
don't know.
Game three is tonight. It's or today, right? Game four is tomorrow.
Yep.
Right? And then game five. When is game five? Saturday?
Well, let's hope it doesn't get to game five. But
I just want to know, because if it doesn't pan out well for the Braves, I'll bring her back some pottery.
Yeah, do it. You know? Yeah, game five would be Saturday.
I'll make it. I'll spin or something. You know,
that's nice of you.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network with a live Roku channel stream. I'm Rich Eisen sitting in London. There's a couple of sound bites I want to get to before my power rankings. How about that?
Rich, can I just throw in one more point about Dak?
Sure.
I'm just wondering, you know, if you look at the year that he got injured with his foot, like the Cowboys offense was kind of on a historic pace to start that season, similar to what we're seeing with the Dolphins in terms of points and yardage. And you just wonder, because then he followed that up by coming back, but then he had the hand, the finger. It just doesn't seem like he's fully there, and the injuries just kind of been such a hiccup. It seems like he hasn't overcome those.
That said, his first game back from the injury, he was remarkable. And then, you know, I'll speak for you, TJ, if you don't mind me saying.
Please do. You're probably more articulate.
The Cowboys had the best offense points per game wise last year, and he won a playoff game. They ended Tom Brady's career emphatically. Everyone seems to forget the Dallas Cowboys are coming off of a playoff win season. They don't get credit for that because they didn't make the NFC Championship game again and came up short of making that game again. And so there's a different measuring stick for them. And unfortunately for them, coming into this Sunday game, they were supposed to be a lot closer. They were supposed to have closed the gap on a team that, you know, eliminated them last year. And instead, they got punked. So that's why we're having this conversation right now. And we will see what happens on the Monday night against the Chargers. It's a pretty damn big game. So that said, when Irv's like, yeah, I'm letting that dream of him being the next Mahomes go, it kind of hit me. I'm like, okay. But it's not as if he can't win and he can't be the quarterback of a high-flying offense. You just got to have, you know, Zeke and Cooper and the other guys together.
Right.
And CD. And so basically throw it to CD like he's a number one receiver, like A.J. Brown. You know, wear somebody out like Burrow did with Jamar Chase. Like, let's figure out how to scheme that guy open and get him the ball and let him be the playmaker and take the pressure off of four. That's the answer, you know, along with maybe going out in the trade market and getting someone like Mecole Hardman. If he's there, you know, for some reason, the Jets don't want to use him. Speaking of the Jets, my head coach, Robert Saleh, and his defense with big Quinnen Williams right up front in the front seven that they constantly keep churning guys on that line to keep them fresh. In comes now the Philadelphia Eagles and the brotherly shove. Let's see if the Jets are going to be the latest team to get shoved over on that line. Robert Saleh was asked about stopping the play that is all the rage in the NFL for only one team.
You know, a lot of respect for it because there's other teams trying to do it too. But, you know, the reality is, they're really good at it. I mean, it feels like the quarterback is wearing a bulletproof vest when you look at him. He's got all that padding on. But, you know, whether they get it, we're going to do our best to try to stop it. And, you know, quarterback's got they do a lot of stuff off it too. They got reverses, they got pop passes, they got stretch plays. They do a lot, so you got to be sound, you got to be disciplined. So we'll do our best in that regard. But if the quarterback carries the ball, we got to give him 11 kisses.
Why?
And just figure out a way to do that. So
11 kisses, I like that. All right, what do you think, guys? Give him 11 kisses. I love it.
I think that's funny. I think this is a big game, a true, you know, testing point for you guys and Zach Wilson.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Yeah. I can't wait. It'll be fun until the game starts, and then we'll see what happens.
Until
it's going to be another late night for the kid here, man. It's going to be another late night for the kid on Sunday, where I'm hoping it's not after midnight. I'm like, really? I stayed up for this? Meanwhile, lots of starting over talk, as we all know, New England head coach Bill Belichick. Yikes. And the question is, starting over, does that mean a change at quarterback for the New England Patriots, which leads to this is, I think, the most historic addition of Bill Belichick press conference moments in the history of Bill Belichick press conference moments.
Today's Bill Belichick press conference moment.
Well, we prefer to win.
Will Mac Jones be starting?
Yeah, we're not making any changes.
You don't think maybe Mac could benefit from a mental break or something after the last 2 weeks?
Thank everybody. Look, this is part of the game. Play every week.
By historic, I mean that was the closest we've come to the open and close music and animation, as we say in the television business, being longer than the soundbite itself.
Yeah,
we
were exactly. Real
for the first time in the history of the belt.
Bill was like starting to say, I think everyone could use a mental break or something. Like, didn't it seem like he almost said something like that?
Mental break, man.
Gosh. Gotta play every week.
This is it, man. Him versus McDaniels coming in with Mac Jones, where he once upon a time famously did the gritty in the Pro Bowl in that stadium.
That's right. Hey, Mac Jones was a Pro Bowler his rookie year. What's going on?
Maybe they can get you. Jacoby Myers can throw you one this time. What do you think?
I have no explanation for what happened.
What a disaster.
Oh, boy. Well, I mean, it's going to be Mac. It's got to be Mac. Let's just see.
If you've seen the stats on Bailey Zappi, he has been terrible when he's been out
there. Come on, let's go. Mac, it's got to work with him or not. You just got to keep going with him.
Yep. You got to get through it. Growing pains, man.
Again, we may have just missed. We need to look at the video. We need to look at the All-22. Like an old 80s movie. Maybe Mac Jones and Zach Wilson switched bodies at the end of that game when they went in. Dapped each other up. Maybe it was just something magic. Was Zoltan or something like that?
Yeah, instead happened. When they went to jersey swap, they actually just swapped bodies.
Body
instead.
Swap. Yeah. Maybe that was it. All right. Are you ready for the very first international edition of you heckling me during my power rankings?
Let's go.
Hit it.
This is my
power rankings.
Ah, yeah, baby, it's time for power rankings. I'm in London. The guys are in Los Angeles, but our Zoom technology is so good, they can heckle me in real time without a delay.
Cheerio.
All right, I've got 10 teams on this list. There's only one new one on this list. Hey, as you pointed out earlier, Chris, that things are kind of settling in
Kind of separating
and
a little
settling
bit.
In at 10 because they crushed the bye week. As a matter of fact, Baker Mayfield won on his bye week. It just was his alma mater won on his bye week. Baker and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are 3-1, and they are number 10 on this list. I can't take them off this list just because they were on a bye week, and nobody really looked as good as the Bucs have looked over the first 4 weeks in this past week for me to just leap them above, except one team. And it's a team that I called winning a game here in London. Number 9 on this list, back on the list, are the Jacksonville Jaguars. Folks, if they can play like they just played in London, and I don't mean by having a team completely jet lagged while they've been used to the time zone that they're playing in for a full week, I'm talking about Trevor Lawrence making great decisions and throwing some beautiful footballs to Calvin Ridley and Christian Kirk and Evan Ingram and Zay Jones and Travis Etienne. He found multiple different receivers multiple times. Etienne with 100 yards on the ground and 2 scores. Ridley with 100 yards in the air. Trevor Lawrence with 300 yards in the air. And guys like Josh Allen balling out and the rest of that defense, Aluakun, and the rest of them just balling out everywhere. This Darius Williams guy, he's going to miss playing in London. He had a pick 6 against Atlanta and a high point pick of Josh Allen in Tottenham. This was an impressive Jacksonville Jaguars weekend. They're number 9 on the list. TJ, your Cowboys are still on this list. They're down 2 spots. They're now number 8. This is the lowest I put the Cowboys all year long. I just need to see something from them. And if they lose to the Los Angeles Chargers, I might have to drop them off the power rankings top 10 entirely.
I don't know why they're on it in the first place.
Oh, hey.
Because I can't quit them. I still think they're very talented all over the lot. I need to see more from them. They're still on the list. And they're behind the Seahawks, who are still number 7. No change for them right there. They are number 7 on this list. and they're coming off of a bye week. I still like what I see out of them. So I'm keeping them in their same spot, number seven. Down four spots because I am genuinely concerned about their health coming out of their loss to the Jacksonville Jaguars, where no Matt Milano for the foreseeable future and Daquan Jones. I know Sean McDermott said he's not calling him out for the season, but I'm genuinely concerned about how many injuries on this defense the Bills have suffered. They've got a get right game against the Giants, but I've got them number six on this list just because of how injured they are, down four spots. And I put the Lions up three spots. I said yesterday, I've got to think real hard about putting the Lions in my top five, and I've done it. And they've got a big game against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They're going to go on the road. They are road warriors, and they're now beginning to start showing their teeth and their fangs and their claws at home as well. I love the way Goff is playing. David Montgomery is killing it. The rest of this team is just absolutely buying what their crazy coach is selling. They are number five on this list, and everybody else moves up one spot except the top. I'm keeping the Dolphins in the top five. They go up one spot at fourth overall. Then you have the Eagles up one spot, third overall. I'm still keeping them behind the Kansas City Chiefs because I believe the Chiefs are just unbeatable until I see somebody do it again. And even though the Eagles are undefeated, I still think the Chiefs are at two. Certainly Isaiah Pacheco, as I've mentioned multiple times, he gives them a totally different dimension. And if Mahomes is going to start finding Rashee Rice the way that he found him, maybe that's the kid that's going to come to the fore. And number one, still sitting atop this list, like the Colossus that they are playing, like the San Francisco 49ers at 5-0. And that's my power rankings entering week six and exiting week five right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Okay. What do you think? There they are. There's the list right there for you, top to bottom. And the only one that fell out were the Ravens. And we'll see if they can put themselves back on this list with a win over the Titans. Those are my power rankings. I didn't hear much of a boo or a peep out of you guys internationally. Yeah. Did you get caught up in customs with your heckling? What happened?
Yeah, and you know, there's not much to really complain about there.
I didn't have
there.
Too much of a problem with it, Governor.
And I'm sure, you know, Seahawks fans might be like, hey, we beat the Lions and we're behind the Lions. Well, yeah, I think the Lions are a top five team in the NFL right now. All right, that's it for me. I'll be back on Thursday's show. Andrew Siciliano returns in a moment. And I'm still here with us chickens on the Roku channel.
I mean, maybe you could have dropped Dallas out and had Atlanta at 10.
Come on, man. Atlanta plays Dallas right now. You think Desmond Ridder is going to be able to handle Micah Parsons in that front? Really?
He looks better than Dak at the moment.
I mean, Kyle Pitts almost, you know, he and I almost traded bodies with the way that he's playing so well. I'm in London. He thought he was in London.
Well, him and Drake London can, coming off their best game. So right. They look better
than
Dallas.
And the way that I've been working out, you might think I'm very Pitts-like.
Cleveland could have won the bye, even though Deshaun is a little banged up. May not go.
No, I'm not going to do that. I already had a couple of teams on a bye week just stay put. So that's my power rankings. Bruce Feldman's in with Andrew. Is he done with the Ohio State University?
Yeah, I think he's done. And I think Bruce is almost here. So we're going to talk some college in the third hour.
I'm going to go grab some dinner.
What do you got? What's for dinner tonight?
I have no idea. I'm going to grab some dinner and a lathe so I can work on woodwork for tomorrow's program.
A plane? Sander?
Just make sure you leave with all the fingers that you came in there with.
What do you think of my work, guys? I mean, seriously.
Really impressive.
Very prolific for a guy that's here doing other work.
Very proud of you, right?
I mean,
now.
I like that. I like that green number in the back, upper right. Yep.
Bring some of those.
Yeah, you like
for
the still life? I'm going to paint some still life. I'm all working.
You did a great job with that green apple behind you too.
Thank you, sir. All right, guys.
All right. See you,
pal. Have a good rest of the show,
pal. Enjoy.
Every Monday, Rich Eisen and Chris Brockman react to what's happening in the world of football on Overreaction Monday.
Dolphins, Final Four AFC team.
Oh, that is not an overreaction at all. I'm with you.
You're in.
I am in. The other three Final Four teams, if you ask me to call my shot, this is the Overreaction Monday podcast.
Call your shot.
Entertainment purposes only, unless I'm right.
Yeah.
Chiefs, Dolphins, Bills, Ravens. Final Four.
Overreaction Monday, the podcast, wherever you listen.